One of the things that seems to overwhelm everybody, and I know I talk about it, and I don't try to bring it up because of to discourage people, but I'm trying to address problems that we face. And in America, what we're facing is things we've never seen before. And we're talking about $1 trillion. I can't even figure out a million. And a billion is 1,000 times a billion. And a trillion is 1,000 times a billion. And they're talking about budget increases and expenditures in the trillions. And some of us remember when we realized, you know, when we started paying attention to what the government was doing, and they might spend $100 million for an increase or a tax hike or this, that, or the other. But I want you to understand, they're adding trillions. There's a proposal now of a $6 trillion bill that they're wanting to promote. They're pushing $6 trillion, and our country is just fast, 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 and it breaks my heart for the little ones, because what's going on in our country is our government is mortgaging their future. They're throwing their future out the window. And at what point in our country is the economy going to collapse? Because it can't continue like it's going. It can't continue. And I see these things, and then I see all the freedoms that people have been trying to take away from us in the last year and a half. And the problems that we face, and they seem to be insurmountable. And now there's the issues in the Middle East have escalated. By the way, there was no issues in the Middle East while Trump was president. No missiles going. Seems interesting that when we get a strong leader, things calm down. We get a weak leader, things pick up. But I'm sitting there thinking, this is supposed to be an encouraging message, okay? And it will be. But I want you to understand, we see in our world, we see in our country, we see in our families some big problems. I was looking at they've got a book out now that they're promoting in the schools called The Gay BCs. Promoting all types of, and using the alphabet to promote all kinds of perverted words and agenda, and using little poems and it's geared for the 3 to 7 year old children. Our world's in a mess. But I've got good news. No matter how big the problems are, no matter how many problems we face, whether it's financial as a country or personal, whether it's family issues, whether it's health, whether it's global battles and conflicts, and whether it's people that are trying to overrun the cities and all these things, and governments are running amok, I got good news for you. No matter how big the problems are, our God's bigger.
Amen.
He's bigger. And we're going to study a little bit today on how big is God. Because too many times in our world today, we focus on the problems instead of the problem solver. We focus on the issues rather than turning the issues over to the one that can fix them. So let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I want to read just a few verses here in Psalm 147. There's 20 verses here. We may read them all. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healed the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Don't forget that. His understanding is infinite. Great is verse 6. "The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heavens with clouds and prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and meldeth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes, and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy, and I thank you for this great psalm that encourages us and helps us and help us realize just how big our God is. And Lord, we're going to deal with some things tonight or this morning. And Lord, we want to focus on you. Lord, too many times the world distracts us from who you are and how great you are. But Lord, we're going to brag on you a while. And Lord, I know that I won't even scratch the surface of who you are and how great you are and how big you are. But Lord, we're going to try. And we're going to focus on you a while. Use this service so that we can lift up and glorify Jesus and brag on our great God. For it's in that holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and one of the things that I see here is the fact that it covers a lot of aspects of what God does. A lot of times we forget. I want you to get just understand every bird. I don't know how many, if I gave you a homework assignment and you had to come back next week, it would take you a while to get it. And you had to bring me a number of how many birds there are on the planet Earth. You probably have trouble just finding out how many different kinds of birds there are, let alone how many there are in number. But I want you to get this in the fact that our great God feeds them every day. Doesn't matter whether it's the fish, whether it's the birds, whether it's the animals, whether it's the insects, whether it's the trees and the plants, whether it's the people. The biggest problem with the hunger in dealing with humans is other humans getting involved and getting in the way. Our country, many times we would send food over to countries that are going through a famine. But it never gets to the people that are hungry, because they realize that food is power. And they want that power. They want that, and they'll keep that food for themselves, those that are in power, rather than caring enough for their people. What a wicked, wicked world we live in when there are people in charge like that. But I want you to get that in the fact that God takes care of it. By the way, one of the greatest things, and I know last week was Memorial Day. One of the things that proves to me, and people have trouble arguing against it, even those that don't like it, there's never been a nation more gracious and more helpful around the world than the United States of America. Our country has gone to battle for other countries, gone to war for other countries. When there's a tsunami or an earthquake or a volcano go off or people in trouble, one of the first countries, probably the first country to get involved is the United States to try to bring relief. But I want you to know, God cares about the problems. And look at what it says in verse number 3. I want to start with that. It says, "And he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Now you would think that a God as big as our God is, that he wouldn't care about our broken heart. But he does. He cares when you ache, when you've got those burdens, when you've got those struggles, when something, for instance, this past week, we went over to this family that we were talking about that had lost their loved one. And we've got to know some of the family pretty well. We've been to the house a number of times. And I got to meet some extra, Sharon and I got to meet some of the other extended family members. They were brokenhearted. But you know, one of the things that I know, that my God, that your God cares enough that he cares for everybody's broken heart. That's what it says. He says he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Today's Tuesday, a year ago, I had my knee replacement surgery. Now, you know you wouldn't be able to do those kind of things if God had not made our bodies to heal themselves. He's the one that heals. Okay, he's the one that takes care of the problems. He's the one, and it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what you're going through, he's the one that cares, and he's the one that tries to heal your broken heart. Now, the shame of it is a lot of people run from him, and they don't get that healing. They don't get that broken heart mended because they don't go to the one that can mend it. But look at the next verse, and I want you to get this, because this goes from human beings to outer space. And it says, "He telleth the number of the stars and calleth them all by their names." Not only does our God care about what goes on in your heart, but he's taking care of everything in the outer space too. You want to talk about a big God, and I remember hearing this, and I've mentioned this a few times, but they said that there in our galaxy there are about 100 billion stars. Get that now. 100 billion stars. And they estimate that there are somewhere around 100 billion galaxies. And God's got them all named. And not only does he have them named, but they're exactly where he put them. I was telling the ladies a while ago, I said, you realize that mankind and the angels that fell are the only creatures God created that would disobey him. Everything else does exactly what he wants. Even to the point where Jesus said the stones would cry out. But he cares about the stars. He's got them all numbered. You think he does? And by the way, Jesus says that the hairs on our heads number. Don't have quite as many as we used to, do we, Brother Meyer?
Nope.
But guess what? He keeps track. He keeps track. I want you to know he's a big God. Let's cover a couple more of these things. We've got some other verses I want to go to. But look at what it says in... Look at verse 8. And it says, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, and maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. There's a lot of mountain creatures. Sharon and I were in Yellowstone a few times, and we saw one of those bighorn sheep. Boy, those things are, I'd hate to get one of those things mad at me. Good grief, it'd be like having a truck run over you. But they live on the mountains. They'd be in trouble if there's no grass on those mountains. When we're door knocking sometimes, it sure is nice to have a cloudy day. Especially here in Florida. And who puts the clouds up there? God does. Who puts the grass on the mountains? God does. Who causes the rain? Which I'm glad we got some rain this last week. We've been needing it pretty good. But who took care of it? God. And I'm sitting there thinking, I would hate to see how long his job description is. Can you imagine? And I imagine he doesn't need a job description because he knows his mind covers it all, and he knows it without any trouble. He doesn't need a job description. Now me, if I get three things, if I got to go to the grocery store and get more than three things, I've got to have a list. And then sometimes I'll still forget something on the list. But anyway, but God doesn't need things like that. Look at verse 9. It says, he giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens that cry. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but I want you to understand, God takes care of all these things. You think he doesn't care about what you're going through? You're wrong. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you see, no matter what's going on in America, God cares. And he just wants us to run to him when we've got a problem. He wants us, he needs us, because what happens is, and I've said it before, when we call on him, when we've got a problem, we're giving him permission to work in that problem on our behalf. Don't you want him working on your behalf? That's what we do when we pray. Let's go to somewhere else. Go over to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. There's one verse here I want to focus on, actually several in a row, but it kind of gives us an idea how big our God is. And let's look at verse, those of you who were in Sunday school, you'll enjoy this, because verse 12 says, "Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last." We dealt with I am the first and the last in Sunday school. And it's found several places in the Bible, including Revelation chapter 1. But look at verse 13. It says, "Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth." One of the things I did when I was at the school board and when I was working in maintenance is they poured a lot of concrete for foundations and things like that. And I know how big a deal it is to not only pour the foundation, you've got to dig that footer, you've got to make sure you've got plenty of space down there because it'll crack. And you got to let it yet have a good mix, or it will not be, it'll be brittle, or it won't be strong enough to hold up what you're building on it. But can you imagine laying the foundation of the earth? That's what God did. He laid the foundation of the earth. That's what it says, right? "Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth." And look at this next statement. This will be hard for you to grasp. It says, "And my right hand hath spanned the heavens." Now, we were just talking about the stars. Now, I want you, he didn't take both hands and stretch the heavens out. He just used one hand. And how many galaxies did we say? There's about 100 billion galaxies with 100 billion stars in each one. And God took it and with one hand, he stretched, he spanned the heavens. How big's your God? We have no idea just how big he is. But I do know one thing. Compared to my problems shrink like a grain of sand compared to my big God. Look at what else it says. It says, "When I call unto them, they stand up together." What's he saying? Whatever he created in the universe, whether it's the earth, whether it's the stars, whether it's anything in the heavens, wherever it is, whatever it does, when he says, "You do it," it does not argue, it obeys. To me, it's amazing that this planet, now I'm going to go ahead and say this, I know a lot of people might not like it, but I believe this planet's been here about 6,000 years. Okay? And that's about what the Bible says. The genealogies of the Bible says about 6,000 years. There are some people that think that the earth is a lot longer, a lot older than that. I don't believe that. And you can't prove that scientifically. But I will tell you, that, and by the way, some of these Bibles have commentaries. The text of the Bible is inspired. The commentaries are not, okay? I've got an old Scofield Bible, and there's certain, you can find, if you look through my Bible, you'll see where I've scratched out a lot of Scofield's notes. Because I don't want anybody to accidentally, if one of my children get my Bible after I'm gone, I don't want them reading them crazy notes. And because they talk about, we were talking about this the other night, about the pre-Adamic flood. There was some of these people think that there was a flood before Adam. I got news for you. That did not come from Scripture. You cannot verify that in the Bible. In fact, I'll go a step farther, and I know I'm spending some time here, but one of the things that we know of in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says that sin came first and then death. Okay? If dinosaurs lived millions and millions and millions and millions, and you can go on and on like those crazy people do. If the dinosaurs lived millions of years ago, not one of them could die until Adam came and sinned, because sin came first and then death. Okay? If you have death before Adam's sin, then you have the punishment before the crime. Okay? Plain and simple. Either you believe the Bible and Adam came first and he sinned and that brought the curse on the planet, or you believe in millions and millions of years ago and just throw your Bible away, because none of the rest of it's going to matter because you've already messed it up from the beginning. So the planet's about 6,000 years old. And so what we see here in the fact that this world, and what I was getting at was the fact that, can you imagine all the meteors, all the comets, all the asteroids that are flying around in outer space, all the planets and the moons and everything flying around in outer space, and our planet... Oh yeah, I know some of them come in and they have a comet hit or an asteroid hit, but by the time it comes and hits the planet, it's so small that it's not much bigger than my fist, because a lot of it burns off coming into the atmosphere. God protects our planet. He's got us just the right distance from the sun. Any closer we would burn up. Any farther, we would freeze. The oxygen level on planet Earth is just perfect for humans. And I don't want to go into a whole lot of that. All I'm saying is that God has everything figured out. He's got it figured out to a point where He knows what's going on. And He not only cares about the stars and spans the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, but He cares about what bothers you, what bothers me. I'm glad I have a God that is big enough to handle. And by the way, the biggest problem you've ever had in your life, He can take care of your biggest problem along with everybody else on planet Earth's biggest problem, all at the same time, and not break a sweat. How can you say that, preacher? Well, the Bible says there's nothing too hard for God. With God, we teach this to the kids because we teach them a song called God Makes the Impossible Probable. God makes what defies solution solvable. He makes what can't be done doable, makes mountains movable. God makes the impossible probable. And we use this verse in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, where the angel's talking to Mary and he says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, why is it that we act sometimes like God can't do it? Why is it that we figure, and I hear the gloom and doom on the TV, I have to take some Pepto-Bismol sometimes just to get through watching the news. Usually I'll turn the channel and watch a good Western. But the truth is, why do we let them do that to us? I can tell you, they take our eyes off of our big God. The problems we face, I don't care whether it's the coronavirus, I don't care whether it's the flu, I don't care, I hate to see cancer, I hate to see all the people that go through the struggles, the health problems, but guess what? If it doesn't concern us that bad if we're ready to go. Because you don't even know you're going to make it home from church tonight or today anyway. There's a bunch of crazies out there. There's a bunch of crazies wanting to take our guns away. What was it B.A. used to say? Pity the fool. But anyway, hey, they shouldn't take our guns away. We've got a right to have them. And the only no good person would want to take your gun away. Okay? All I'm saying is, and let's cover one more passage. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. But I want you to understand that everything in creation listens and obeys God, except for man, except for the fallen angels. Look at let's start with verse 10 in Hebrews chapter 1. It says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth," or the foundation of the earth, there that is again, "and the heavens are the works of thine hands." Oh, everything in heaven, we've already covered that. Look at verse 11. It says, "They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall wax old as doth the garment." And it says, "And as a vesture thou shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." I want you to get the picture here. It's talking about all of creation being like a coat for God. Saying it's wax old like a garment. Now hold your place there and go to Revelation chapter 21. Isaiah 66 also talks about what I'm getting ready to mention. Verse 1 in Revelation 21, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now get the picture. This is the way I see it. Now, I'm not going to say it. This is exactly how it's going to happen, but this is the way I see it happening. One day, according to Hebrews chapter 1, it's talking about all creation being like a garment for God. And it says he's going to change garments. You say, "Preacher, you're stretching this." I want you to, and what's the title of the message? How big is God? Okay? It says that, "As a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed." Talking about creation now. Talking about the earth. Talking about the heavens. You see, what I see in these passages is the fact that one day God's going to say, "Well, this garment's got too nasty. Got too much sin on it. Got too much filth." How many of you would like to wear a garment with fleas on it? I don't think God would either. And I think sometimes he gets just sick and tired of seeing the sin that goes on in creation. So what he's going to do is he's going to take his garment off. It says it's going to fold it up, and it shall be changed. And what's he going to do? Revelation 21, verse 1 says, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are going to be passed away. Now, you say, "I don't get all that." Hey, I told you we got a big God, okay? You just don't know how big he is. I don't know how big he is. I'm trying to figure out what size coat that would be. But I want you to remember, I don't care whether you agree with me about this or not, about the garment change. But what I do want you to remember is we've got a big God. And we don't go to Him on things like we ought to. We need to bring every burden, every trial, every struggle, every tiny little concern to Him. Casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. Don't let the problems of the world, don't let the problems of the country, don't let the problems, even your personal problems, don't let them overwhelm you. Just take them to your big God, who loves you enough to send His only Son to the cross on our behalf. And when you do that, number one, your outlook will change. Number two, you'll watch Him work. Is He going to fix everything the way I want it done? No, He's going to fix it the way He wants it done. His ways are perfect, right? His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts our thoughts. So we need to remember that. But He's a big God, and He can take care of everything we have, every problem we face. No matter who we are, no matter how far in debt or how big our problem, or no matter what might come our way, financially or physically or whatever, just remember. And I've heard it said, when people say, look how big my problem is, I say, look how big my God is. Don't get overwhelmed with this crazy world. If you read the book for very long, you realize it's going the wrong way. It's not going to get better until after Jesus comes back. Okay? But in the meantime, things will get better for us when we're called out of this crazy place. The most important thing is, are you ready? And if we're ready, if you've called on Jesus and you've asked Him to forgive you and save you, then you need to unite with the rest of us and try to get other people ready. Whether it's by passing out tracts, whether it's knocking on doors, whether it's calling people, inviting them to church, or even inviting them just to get saved over the phone. We've got a big God. Too many times we forget that. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not just reminding you, I'm reminding myself too. Because sometimes things get overwhelming for me. But I'm glad I've got a big God to run to. And just like the prodigal son, when I start running to Him, the Father starts running back towards me too. We need to keep Him in mind and keep our minds on Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy. What a blessing it is to know that we have a big God. And Lord, I'm counting on You to help us when we run to You. Help us during the struggles. Help us with all that we face. Lord, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that I've got a God bigger than I can understand. I've got a God that keeps the stars in place, but also mends the broken heart and binds up the wounds. Lord, if there are any broken hearts today, any struggles, any battles, Lord, help us all to turn over our problems to You. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, help them to come to Jesus even now. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand.